Somebody said you should bring the blue ones up to the front, so they're more comfortable, and then put these other plastic ones out a little bit further back. Then maybe everybody will come up to the front. Don't know whether we'll have time to do that and change it, but we're glad for all those that are sitting near the front and up here to encourage the preacher. Joseph, we appreciate your ministry and song, and as it has been mentioned, you led us very ably in song to the cross. The cross is the heart of the gospel. It's something that we can never go away from. When you get saved, you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. That's important. You want to persevere with Christ. You want to grow in knowledge. You want to develop and mature in the Christian life. Become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But there's something you can't move away from. And that is the great doctrine of the cross. Of the cross where I first saw the light. And I want to be brought back continually to that day when I first saw the light and I was brought to Christ, brought to the cross. People think they can get higher than that, and you can't. May the Lord ever lead us to Calvary and set the scenes of the cross before us and remind us what was sung tonight, that Jesus has paid it all of our sin, all of a lifetime of sin, past, present, and future, nailed to His cross. The hymn writer said, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. September is almost done. We're almost through this month. Amazingly, this year has gone so quickly. And the nights are getting darker. I don't know whether you've noticed that even during the mission. I would be over in the stomach at the church before coming over to come out for the mission. And I can see that little bit of dropping the night, every night, and it's getting a little bit darker coming through the fellowship area without its distance from any lights that we put on. So we've noticed that. And the night is coming when no man can work. And there's a darkness coming for us all when we shall be finished completely in this life. And then what? We're in the business of preaching the gospel, that men and women who know not Christ the Saviour might trust Him. That's what the mission is for. It's not in any way to promote a denomination. It is to promote Christ, that He might have the preeminence. We have a little book that's called A New Beginning. We have encouraged just the past few nights for you to take those booklets. They are very helpful, especially for those who know not the Lord. It brings you through the plan of salvation and then tells you thereafter how to live the Christian life, some difficulties you might face in the Christian life. It's not always a smooth pathway, but that little booklet you'll find very helpful to you. So, they all went, and there's no more, and people were asking about them, so we've got a new supply. So, there are more now, tonight, and there's more of the church as well. So, that's a little booklet there. You can take that with you this evening. Just one more night as far as the hall here is concerned tomorrow night, and the young people will be singing Friday night, because it's youth fellowship night. It's very often a youth night, but the meeting is for everyone, no matter what age you are, under 50 or over 50, whatever it might be. And the young people will sing, and I want you to pray for the last night. It's a very solemn time when you're coming to the end of a mission tonight and tomorrow night. We feel the burden of such a time as this. And then on the Lord's Day evening, kind of continuing a little bit with the mission, but going back to the church, not meeting here, we will have our family night stroke praise night for the mission. And we invite all who have come to return, and those who are able to sing on Sunday night, just a single piece, to worship the Lord in song. Some verses that I want to read tonight from Romans chapter 10. I've actually four short texts that I want to bring to your attention, but I have a reading this evening that I want to set before you from Romans 10, and we're going to read from verse 9 to verse 17. Verse 9 of Romans 10. That if I shall confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does saving faith come? How do men and women come to trust in Christ? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, and that's why at our mission emphasis is given to God's word. And we come to this final part of the meeting, and it is given over entirely to what the Lord says in his word, because that's how faith has originated in our hearts. And I trust tonight that you've listened to the reading and you'll listen to the preaching. Give your mind and your heart over to it this evening. Let's pray just for a moment. Our Father, in a very definite way, we give ourselves to the Lord tonight in his word, in the preaching of the word, in the reading that has just taken place. We thank thee for the precious, inerrant, infallible word of the living God. We know that of ourselves we have no power, but there is a power that is invested in your word. Your word that is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. There is power that is invested in the mighty Holy Spirit of God who takes the word. And he writes it upon our hearts and he teaches us the gospel. We thank thee that he is the great teacher, the great preacher of all. O God, the Holy Spirit, come among us tonight and preach to us in this meeting. We pray that it will be the voice of God that will be heard. Amidst all that we hear around us, let us hear from God. And we pray that there will be conversions, that faith will be originated in the heart. As individuals listen to the way of salvation, we pray that God will stir their heart. They may have come tonight in ignorance, in darkness, in sin. Maybe even with purpose of heart, not to get right with God, not to be saved, but Lord, you can change all that. You can make them think differently. You can bring true concern. And we're asking thee in Jesus' name that you'll do that in this mission, especially tonight, especially tomorrow night, these last two nights, as Jesus Christ is passing this way. Oh God, come down. Glorify Christ. Exalt his precious name among us. We ask for his sake. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel in the sinner's ear. And I have four texts that I want to bring with you, and you'll see later that these will be the four points that I want to draw to your attention. The first one is here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, just at the end of the text, and the question is asked, how shall they hear without a preacher? The second text is over in the Gospel of John. Indeed, it is the words of our dear Savior in John chapter 16 and verse 8, where he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The third text is in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 12, where it says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And the final text is in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 27 and 28. Send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now the call of the gospel is the way in which God speaks to sinners in order to awaken them, bring them to see the need of salvation through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the means of reaching the heart and so drawing individuals to a saving faith in Christ who died upon the cross. Now this call is a mercy. I just want to pause there for a moment and think of the great mercy of God towards us, that we would ever hear such a call, that God would ever speak to us. We are in the day of grace, we are in the season of opportunity, and to hear the call of the gospel is indeed a great mercy. The call of the gospel also has come in many different ways. We have to say preeminently, we know that God speaks through his word. Now he does not speak apart from his word. But God has spoken to us through his word in many, many times over the years. He has spoken in times of sickness, when we have been laid low and we have been brought to feel and sense our own mortality. And he has spoken through death when loved ones and friends have been taken away and we have been brought to face with the eternal issues that we too must leave this life, we must die. And God has spoken through the fact that others have been taken into eternity and we have stopped to think and consider about our own soul. The call of the gospel will end one day. Someday you'll hear God's final call to you. And so this great mercy that has been extended, a mercy that you have received, many of you, time and time again, is going to finish one day. You have been called many times in many ways through many different circumstances, and yet it's true to say that for some, in this gospel service, you're still unconverted. And you're unready for eternity. You have rejected every opportunity. You have spurned every call. You have ignored every invitation. And tonight finds you going on heedless and careless in your sin. You turn away your neck. You shut your eyes. You close your ears. You put the shutters up in your heart. And you may even say in your heart, I will not come to Christ. And it may very well tonight that you have come to this meeting just with that, with purpose as we pray tonight, that you're not going to be saved. Because you know what you're going to hear in these meetings. And you have already put up the shutters and you have already said in your heart as you come through those doors tonight, I will not come to Christ. I will not become a Christian. You are treading on perilous ground. And you are in danger of being lost forever. But I want you to know that still tonight, in this gospel mission, even though we're drawing quickly to the conclusion of it, still today he's calling you. Still today he is inviting you to Christ. Still today he is pleading with you that you might come and receive of his grace and of his mercy. Still today his hand is stretched out towards you. Even though you may be disobedient, and like the game saying, people that the Bible speaks of, that hand of mercy is towards you. He's willing to save you. And he's willing to save to the uttermost. All the come. There are several voices that can be distinctly heard that speak to us as far as the call of the gospel is concerned. Voices that speak loudly amidst all the din and the clamour of this world. There are many voices around us in the world, but there is this call of the gospel. And I want to direct your attention to our four texts tonight and set before you the four calls that are identified here. First of all, there is a call from without. How shall they hear without a preacher? So it's the call of the preacher. It's the call of the minister. It's the call of the evangelist. It's the call of the Sunday school teacher, the youth worker. It's the call of the godly mother and the godly father as they encourage their children to seek the Lord and come to him that they might be saved. It's the call of the Word of God itself as it is presented. We sometimes call this the external call of the gospel. Now the apostle is making it clear in this passage of scripture that the gospel must be preached. This is the way in which sinners are to hear. Somebody must tell them the message. Men must be raised and sent. Sinners are perishing all around us. They are lost in their sin, They're going downward to a Christless eternity. And so that the question is asked, how shall they hear without a preacher? And so the Lord in mercy, he calls men and he calls women and he commissions them to go forth with the message of the gospel and to present it. The preacher has a solemn task. Take this book of God, and to present its message to a lost and a perishing world. We feel that burden. Every night of the mission, we have felt that burden. Similar to what Paul spoke about when he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You remember the great apostle Paul, when he was giving counsel to the younger minister of the gospel, Timothy, he told him, preach the word. That is our solemn task. That has been committed to every true preacher, every true minister of the word. It's our duty. We are servants in the hand of God. We are ambassadors to represent the Lord in his word. We are, as we sometimes describe it, just a signpost. That's what we've been in the mission. We're just pointing the way, pointing you to Christ, who is the Savior of men. And this external call is wonderfully illustrated by the Savior himself back in the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 14. You needn't turn to it, but let me read you quickly these words. The Savior is speaking and he says, a certain man made a great supper and he bade many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I pray thee have an excuse. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have an excuse. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So you see what's happening here? You see the illustration that the Lord is setting before his hearers? And he's speaking here in gospel terms, this great supper, this great feast that has been prepared. You go out there and you compel them to come in. You invite them to come in. And that is what the gospel is. And I see the Savior himself standing, calling sinners to himself over and over again. Under such terms as this. Come, for all things are now ready. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or we think of that amazing invitation that we have to the church of Laodicea. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And the Savior gave this external call to men and women to come to him. He says, I'm knocking, I'm inviting, I want you to come unto me. Remember Paul, we spoke the other night about Mars Hill. He's standing there, he's preaching to the superstitious people of that city, the city of Athens. And he's setting before them the great truths of God, who this God really is, the true God, the living God. They were worshipping all kinds of gods, but he said, I want to tell you about the true God. I want to tell you about the one who is the creator, who has made us, not we ourselves. And then as he goes on in that sermon at the end, he gives a gospel call to repentance. You need to repent, he told. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This is, my friends, the external call of the gospel. And this is my responsibility. And I don't want my garments stained with your blood. I want to discharge my responsibility in this mission by the grace and the help of God. So there is this, the call, the preacher. It's the external call, the call that is from without. But then there's a call from within. We've spoken there about the Gospel of John and the chapter 16. Just want to turn to it for a moment or two. And the Saviour here is in discussion with his disciples, and he's telling them about the Comforter, the blessed Holy Spirit, who is coming into the world with great power, and would come on the day of Pentecost in such a fashion. And this is what the Lord says. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and he see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now whose voice is this? It's the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one who convicts us. He is the one who brings concern to the heart. There is this inward call to the mind, to the heart, to the conscience of man. That voice that grips the inner man and reveals to the inner man his need. The Holy Spirit has a ministry. I want you to see this tonight. A ministry in the hearts of sinners. He speaks to them. He strives with them. He awakens them. And blessed is the man that feels this work in his heart. You don't feel that work tonight. I have to say, there's nothing really that I can do for you. Well, I'll keep presenting the gospel. I will keep pleading with you. But if God is not working in your heart and bringing concern to you, there's nothing that I can do for you. For it is the power of God within that we need. It is the Holy Spirit's voice that we need. Jesus told his disciples when he was gone, the Comforter would come. And when he has come, he will reprove the world. That would be his first priority to the world, to reprove them. And the word reprove means to convince. And to convince them particularly in the three things that Jesus speaks about. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit of God would bring the unconverted to see their sin. Until you see your sin, you can't be saved because you're being saved from sin. And it is the business and the work of the Holy Spirit to bring a man to say, I am a sinner in the sight of a holy God. And whenever we sense our sin, it's the work of God within. Whenever we sense our guilt, that we're guilty sinners before a holy God, that's the work of the Spirit. But he not only convinces men of their sin, he convinces them of righteousness. Lack of their own personal righteousness, but we have no righteousness of our own. But the great necessity of having the righteousness of another. Even our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, which is given to us, imputed to us in salvation, will become in repentance and in faith. And also to convince us of judgment. And there are two interpretations as to what this judgment is. One, of course, is to convince us of the cross. Because that's where the judgment of sin took place. That's when the Lord Jesus was crucified for our sin. And therefore men need to know, yes, I am a sinner, and I am greatly in need of righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own. I need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But salvation is only by the cross, and Jesus Christ was judged there upon the cross. The judgment of God fell upon him when he bore our sin in his own body at that tree. And the other application, of course, is the future judgment that we were speaking about the other night. So it is the work, the business of the Spirit of God in our hearts to convince us of these things. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the call would not only be external through the preacher's voice, it would be internal, inwardly, by the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We see that illustrated on the day of Pentecost. You remember the men that were filled with the power of God and they went out into the community of Jerusalem, into that city to preach the gospel. Peter himself particularly, standing up in the midst of the others, filled with the Holy Spirit of God and preaches that sermon that is all about Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. Do you remember what happened? There were thousands and thousands of people gathered there. And so here we have Peter, he's preaching. That's the external call. That is the call from without. But there was something happening in the hearts of the people. Because as Peter preached, the word of God tells us that they were pricked in their heart. And they were so concerned that they publicly cried out, Men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, God, the Holy Spirit, was working in the heart. He was bringing that concern. And thankfully, many of them turned to faith in Christ that day. About 3,000 souls, we're told, were converted that day to Christ. We see it also, I believe, in the case of Felix. This time it's Paul, the apostle, that's preaching to him. Or, as the Bible word is, reasoning with him. Because he reasoned with him in similar subjects. He reasoned with him about sin, righteousness, and in that case, judgment to come. And as the apostle set before this Roman ruler these great truths, these essential truths of the gospel, I want you to know, Felix, you are a sinner in the sight of God. Felix, you have no righteousness. You need the righteousness of Christ. And Felix, there's a judgment day. You'll not be sitting on the seat. Christ will be sitting on the seat, and you'll be called before him. You know what the Bible tells us? Felix trembled. Felix trembled. Sadly, like so many, he said, go thy way. When I've got a convenient season, I will call for thee. But you see what's happening here. It was the external call. The apostle Paul was preaching, reasoning with him. There was something happening in his heart, I believe. The Spirit of God was bringing these truths home to Felix. And the Bible says he trembled. There was concern. There was conviction of sin. When God calls you in your conscience by the Spirit of God, do you hear that voice tonight? Do you sense that impulse? Do you feel the striving of the Holy Spirit within? And if you do, there is a warning. A warning that sits in very well at the end of this mission. My Spirit shall not always strive with man. And though the Spirit of God speaks, and though he deals with men and he strives with sinners, he says, I will not always. There come the day when I will cease to strive, I will cease to speak, and you'll not hear from me anymore. And that happens. It happens so often in gospel missions. You will not always hear his voice. You will not always sense his presence. You will not always feel the way that you do. He has striven many times. You have felt that conviction. My friend, don't turn away from the inner speaking of the Spirit of God. Then there is a call from above. And we see it at least illustrated in that verse that we've given to you in the book of Revelation, and the chapter 11 and verse 12. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. There's a voice from heaven. And this certainly was a voice from heaven. And the voice says, come up hither. And these words are like a loving invitation to the unconverted. We know the Satan that God delights to save men. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that the very angels of God are waiting to bear the glad tidings to glory when another soul repents of his or her sin. And we know that there is joy in their presence, and I think on the Sabbath morning we'll come to speak a little bit about that passage of Scripture. But I think I can hear tonight a call from above, bidding you to come up hither. Did you hear it tonight? God the Father calls. God the Father says, I have planned redemption. I have sent my only begotten Son into the world to be the sacrifice for sin. I have provided everything that is necessary for your soul's salvation in him. And the Father would say, come up hither. In other words, prepare for heaven. And of course, the blessed Son of God would say, come up hither. I have been to the cross. I have laid down my life in that once and for all time sacrifice for sin. I have poured out my life's blood for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sin. Everything that needs to be done has been done. I've done it all. Jesus paid it all at the cross. Come up hither. If we could hear the voices of the redeemed in glory, if they were permitted to speak to us, some godly mother, some godly father, some dear one in the family who has gone on before, and there they are in the glory, what would they say to us? they would say to us, come up hither. They would appeal to their families here on the earth to get right with God. They would say, oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the glory of seeing him whom our souls love. They would say, oh, the splendor and the joy that is unspeakable, come up hither. Can you not hear them call? Maybe some dear one before they left us in a time to say to you, get right with God. You come to Christ, you meet me in heaven. And they're still saying it today. If you could hear them, get right with God. Or maybe some little infant child was taken. Didn't understand why, but I believe that the infants are covered by the grace of God and they're in glory. And that infant child would appeal to a mother, to a father, come up hither. What a blessed place this place called heaven. Come and join me here. Your dear departed loved ones would urge you tonight to flee from the wrath to come. They would urge you tonight to think about heaven, and they would point you in the way of the cross. For it is the way of the cross that leads home to heaven. Then finally tonight, in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, there's a call from beneath. I want you to think about this, please, just for a moment. And here we have, in a lost eternity, a man that Jesus speaks about. We don't know his name. He's just simply referred to as the rich man. And here is a prayer that he has. Here is a desire. Verse 27 and verse 28. He says, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, not send Lazarus, who has lived on the earth, send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I hear a cry from a lost eternity. As I look into the Word of God this evening, and what a cry it is. And you know, my friends, we can actually lift the lid of hell. We can look in. We can see what's happening there. At least ends this particular passage that the Lord has given to us. He tells us about a man that's there. A man that is in the midst of this fiery inferno, suffering the torments of a lost eternity. And as we watch him languishing in the flame, we observe something. It's very important. We observe his crying. And as we said to you already in this mission, he's crying for a number of reasons. We know that he's crying because of the agony that he's in. Tormented, he says, in this flame. We know that he's crying because he desires that drop of water to cool my tongue, for I'm tormented. He's crying also because he sees another place across the great gulf, and he knows, I'll never be there. I'll never be in that place of comfort, in that place of salvation. We know that he's crying because of the memory that he has. And Abraham told his son, you remember thy lifetime. And sinners will remember on the earth their lifetime. They will remember the good times such as they were, as far as the world gave them, just as this man was told to remember. And they will remember the opportunities, the times they sat in gospel meetings and missions like this. They will remember it all. And they will cry out in the midst of it all. But I want you to see, my friends, that he's crying because of his family that is back here on the earth. And he's speaking particularly about five brothers that he has. Oh, will you not send Lazarus? Raise him from the dead. Send them to my father's house. If they could just see one that they know was dead and is alive now, if they could just see him, they would be convinced. A lot of people say, if my loved ones die without Christ and go to hell, I want to join them someday. I want to tell you respectfully tonight, if you've ever thought that thought, that is foolish. Because number one, you wouldn't desire to be where they are. You would not meet them where they are. There's no reunions in hell. People think they're going to go to hell, they're going to meet all their old friends. There's none of that. For all eternity, sinners are going to be languishing in the fires of hell forevermore. But I want to put it the other way about it. If those in hell could just speak to you tonight. If you have friends or family that have died without the Lord, and that's where they are, They will be telling you a different story. They will be saying something like what this man here is saying. Send somebody to tell them, don't come here. Don't come to this place of torment. Warn them from me. And so I'm saying to you, there's a cry from a lost eternity. And those that are down in hell this night will say, don't come here to this fearful place of torment. There's a call from the beneath. Don't refuse the call of God, man. This call is urgent. The call of God that would bring you to salvation. The call of God that would bring you from your sin unto Christ. The call of God that would bring you to repentance and faith in Christ alone. The call of God that would bring you to the cross, the only place where your sin can be dealt with. The call of God that would bring you from the broad road that leads to hell onto the narrow road that leads to heaven. What a call it is. The preacher's voice, I plead with you. This external call, this call from without, my friend, come to Christ, you see. The call from within, the blessed comforter of God, the Holy Ghost, who has been sent to reprove us and convince us that we need God's salvation, we need Christ's righteousness. A call from above. Come up hither. Come and join us in glory. The call from beneath, don't come here. Get right with God. Will you listen tonight to the call of the gospel? This call that has come to you again, not the first time, it's come to you again. Will you listen to it? Will you heed the call? Will you trust Christ as your Savior? Or how do you know this might be the last call for you? Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank Thee for the mercy of God. That mercy that was spoken about tonight, that God would even call us poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinners to Himself. We thank Thee that You've placed us in areas, in towns and villages where we would hear the message. We thank Thee for such grace in the day of opportunity. And Lord, we know for some in this meeting tonight that heard that call over and over and over again. What a mercy it is. But Lord, we know that the final call will come someday. And as we come now almost at the close of this mission, we pray that men and women will sit up, that they will take stock of their life, that they will think seriously about death and eternity and where they'll be. And Lord, that they'll heed Your call as You call to them in mercy and grace and in infinite love to come unto Me that they might be saved. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Answer our cry and draw the lost to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hymn 232.